Today's Bible reading is from Exodus chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, and Exodus chapter 12, verses 31 to 36. I am reading from the Contemporary English Version. Exodus 11, verses 1 to 3. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to punish the king of Egypt and his people one more time. Then the king will gladly let you leave his land so that I will stop punishing the Egyptians. He will even chase you out. Now go and tell my people to ask their Egyptian neighbors for gold and silver jewelry." So the Lord made the Egyptians greatly respect the Israelites, and everyone, including the king and his officials, considered Moses an important leader. Exodus 12, verses 31 to 36. During the night, the king sent for Moses and Aaron and told them, "Get your people out of my country and leave us alone. Go and worship the Lord as you have asked. Take your sheep, goats, and cattle and get out. But ask your God to be kind to me." The Egyptians did everything they could to get the Israelites to leave their country fast. They said, "Please hurry and leave. If you don't, we will all be dead." So the Israelites quickly made some bread dough and put it in pans. But they did not mix any yeast into the dough to make it rise. They wrapped cloth around the pans and carried them on their shoulders. The Israelites had already done what Moses had told them to do. They had gone to their Egyptian neighbors and asked for gold and silver and for clothes. The Lord had made the Egyptians friendly towards the people of Israel, and they gave them whatever they asked for. In this way, they carried away the wealth of the Egyptians when they left Egypt.
It's so great to be with you today, and so glad you can be joining us in this service. May Mission Month has now drawn to a close, and we've concluded our series, Your Kingdom Come. I do hope you've been challenged and encouraged like I have to have heard from our mission partners throughout this month. And we thank you to all those who took part. Today, I get to freelance a little bit, as will the next two speakers in the weeks to follow. For those who may not know, for 12 years, I was the production coordinator, editor of Godspace, a Bible curriculum that is used mainly in public primary schools to teach about the Bible and used by volunteers who go into schools each week to do special religious education, known as SRE. Some of you may know it as Scripture. So I officially left that role 2 years ago, but have continued to consult and have been seconded to help with the last two books and working on the third one now. And I'm pretty adamant that this will be my last one. But one unit in particular has consumed my time and energy so far this year. And that's been the reworking on the unit on Moses. And there are a number of reasons why we've done that, but I won't go into that now. However, it has been a significant time of insight and reflection for me to look through the book of Exodus. So in summary, and it really is a summary, and maybe one day we'll have time to look at the book in more detail. So the Israelites are living in Egypt. They came with Joseph 400 years ago. And at that time, there were 70 of them. But now they have grown so large in number that the king of Egypt, also known as Pharaoh, is quite threatened by them. And so he's fearful that they will become allies with his enemies. So he wants to suppress them, to oppress them, to put them under control. So he turns them into slaves, unpaid workers. He then appoints bosses to oversee them and to make sure that they work really hard so that they get worn out. So threatened by their growing number that he eventually comes up with these laws, these rules, one of which says that when a baby is born, if it is a male, it's to be killed. So this is where we pick up the story of Moses. And due to the faithfulness and trust in God of his parents, Moses' life is spared. And he ends up being found by the princess, the daughter of Pharaoh. So he is raised in Pharaoh's palace, where he is educated and is prepared for life. However, things do not go as expected. For when he's 40 years old, he kills an Egyptian and he has to flee for his life into the desert. Here he spends the next 40 years. He gets married, he has two sons, he learns to be a shepherd and how to survive out in the desert, and he gets mentored by his father-in-law, a wise man, Jethro. We read in Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. So while he is away from Egypt, the Israelites sink deeper into despair and cry out to God to save them. And God hears their plans and puts a plan into place. A plan has now begun to be put into action. While tending his sheep at Mount Sinai, Moses encounters God in a miraculous way. He's called to come over to a bush that's on fire, but it's not burning. It's not burning up. So Moses is now finds himself standing on holy ground. And it's here that Moses meets the great I Am. He's standing before God and hears what God has to say to him. He's called to return to Egypt to save God's people. And it's a very interesting study to look at the excuses that he gives to not do the job that God is asking of him, and then to hear God's responses. Again, that's for another time. So jumping ahead, Moses does return to Egypt and along with his brother Aaron go to confront Pharaoh to say, let God's people go. And as a consequence of Pharaoh's stubbornness to not do what's been asked, all of Egypt suffers 10 terrible plagues. Finally, Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt to begin the journey to the promised land, a promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Where I want to focus on is something that I have learnt, that apparently that has been jumped over in my previous learning of the story. Some really little interesting facts. So look, let's look at chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to punish the king of Egypt and his people one more time. Then the king will gladly let you leave his land, so that I will stop punishing the Egyptians. He will even chase you out. Now go and tell my people to ask the Egyptians, their Egyptian neighbors, for gold and silver jewelry. Because here God is providing for the Israelites. Remember, they've been slaves for a long time and own nothing. When the time comes for them to leave, we read in Exodus chapter 12, verses 31 to 36. During the night, the king sent for Moses and for Aaron and told them, get your people out of my country and leave us alone. Go and worship the Lord as you have asked. The Egyptians did everything they could do to help the Israelites leave their country fast. And the Israelites had already done what Moses had told them to do. They'd gone to their Egyptian neighbors and asked for gold and silver and for clothes. The Lord made the Egyptians friendly towards the people of Israel, and they gave them whatever they asked for. In this way, they carried away the wealth of the Egyptians when they left Egypt. So now they've gone from being poor and oppressed with nothing to a people carrying great wealth. And into the desert they go. And now a new challenge begins. They weren't able to bring much food with them, and it's not long before they start complaining. It's as if they quickly forgot what God had saved them from. Their vision becomes very clouded, and they just complain. So reading from Exodus 16, 2 to 3, there in the desert, they start complaining to Moses and Aaron. We wish the Lord had killed us in Egypt. When we lived there, we could at least sit down and eat all the bread and meat that we wanted. But you've brought us here into this desert where we're going to starve. But God hadn't forgotten or forsaken them. The Lord says to Moses, I will send bread down from heaven like rain. Each day the people can go out and gather only enough for that day. That's how I will see if they will obey me. But on the sixth day of each week, they must gather and cook twice as much. God provides for their needs, even catering with enough food on day six so that they can observe the Sabbath, the seventh day, where they're not allowed to work. They're not allowed to do cooking. So God provided bread, water, meat. But still they complained. It's during this time that God gave them the Ten Commandments and other instructions of how to live their lives. But time and time again, they disobeyed. And they still complained. Today, we might refer to them as having an air of entitlement. Let's set the scene for another significant time in the life of the Israelites. Beginning at Exodus 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, come up to the mountain and stay here for a while. When Moses went up Mount Sinai, a cloud covered it, and the bright glory of the Lord came down and stayed there. The cloud covered the mountain for 6 days, and on the seventh day, the Lord told Moses to come into the cloud. Moses did so and stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. To the people, the Lord's glory looked like a blazing fire on top of a mountain. Can you imagine what that must have looked like? Moses is away from the people while God gives him instructions for them to follow. And those you can read in the following 7 chapters. I'll leave you to do that. So let's pick up the story again. Exodus 32, verses 1 to 5. After the people saw that Moses had been on the mountain for a long time, they went to Aaron and said, make us an image of a God who will lead and protect us. Moses brought us out of Egypt, but nobody knows what's happened to him. Aaron told them, bring me the gold earrings that your wives and sons and daughters are wearing. Everyone took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He then melted them and made an idol in the shape of a young bull. All the people said to one another, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. For me, this is the point where a number of facts merge together. The first one, there are over 10 accounts of the Israelites complaining and lamenting over leaving Egypt. They complained that they were better off in Egypt. How quickly they had forgotten what life was like back then. Number two, the people violate the second commandment given to them in chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. Let me read it for you. Do not make idols that look like anything in the sky or on earth or in the ocean under the earth. Don't bow down and worship idols. I am the Lord your God, and I demand all your love. Later, in chapter 20 of Exodus, God elaborates on that. The Lord told Moses to say to the people of Israel, with your own eyes, you saw me speak to you from heaven. So you must never make idols of silver or gold to worship in place of me. So my third point that merges together. Do you remember what I asked you to keep in your mind in the beginning? Do you remember what they were given when they left Egypt? Let's read chapter 12 again. The Israelites had already done what Moses had told them to do. They had gone to their Egyptian neighbors and asked for gold and silver and for clothes. The Egyptians gave them whatever they asked for, and in this way they carried away the wealth of the Egyptians when they left Egypt. So note, what do they make this new idol out of? Aaron told them, bring me your gold earrings that your wives and sons and daughters are wearing. Everybody took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. And he melted them and made an idol in the shape of a young bull. See, not only were they disobeying a commandment, but they were in fact substituting the one true God for the false gods of Egypt that they'd left behind. They were planning to worship their past. The wealth that they had taken with them from Egypt was now their focus of worship, worshiping their past. They were an impatient people. They failed time and time again to trust God. They had set their own agendas of what was to happen and by when. They had enough evidence that God was at work amongst them and for them, but they didn't like the time frame. Exodus 32:1. After the people saw that Moses had been on the mountain for a long time, and remember how long that was for? First the 6 days, and then for another 40. So after 46 days, they go to Aaron and say, make us an image of a God who will lead and protect us. And what was to follow was not a happy sight. They suffered the consequences of their sin. God was not happy. God just wanted to let them go. However, God is both just and merciful. And after Moses' pleading to not turn his back on these people, God promised to still be with his people. And this story continues all the way through the Old Testament and into the new, where Jesus comes to fulfill all these promises. Hallelujah. It is a story that is to be retold and passed on to the next generation and to the generations beyond. So this account has also challenged me in this time of physical separation. There are many, who feel that the times that we are currently experience have parallels with the Exodus account, that we have been led or are still being led into a time of wilderness, that this is a time to reflect, to be tested in our obedience to God, to trust, to forge a new way ahead. So what has this time of doing church different impacted on how we view God? How have we seen God at work? And yes, there will be a time when we will be able to gather together in the same place physically. But will it be the same? Should it be? As we move forward, how will we tell our story of the year 2020? Of lockdown, of COVID-19, of Zoom, online services, the great toilet roll shortage, the care packages, the phone calls, the letters, the cards, the meals, the prayer, the new ways to engage in isolation. What will our future be? Are we expecting life to go back to normal? And is it to be the same as the way we knew it? How about church? What have we learnt or are learning from this current journey that we are travelling? What is God saying to us? What does the journey ahead look for us? Do we carry an air of entitlement that we deserve more? Maybe, like me, you've had times of complaining, ask God to hurry up, gone ahead and done my own thing. And like the Israelites, at times I've allowed other things to become my focus of worship. So I thank God for his mercy and grace so that I might focus on the direction that I'm going and to fix my eyes on Jesus so that whatever I do, wherever I may be, who I am is what God has designed me to be. I don't know what the future will be like. I don't know God's timing. What I do know is that I believe in the living God and that God is in control. The God who keeps promises. The one in whom I can trust to know our future. In the words of Paul, as he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, my friends, I don't feel that I have already arrived, but I forget what is behind and I struggle for what is ahead. I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Christ Jesus has done. Maybe we really haven't finished our series on Your Kingdom Come. For my prayer for us comes from the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These are great words to live by. Amen.